الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading what Al-Hafiz Al-Dhahabi he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى in the ترجمة of أبي عبد الله محمد ابن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى we have seen that the author he is mentioning what the people of knowledge have said about him, rahimahullah, from the praise, and that he was a person of knowledge and a person of memorization and understanding, and that likewise, al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was a person of piety and righteousness, rahimahullah ta'ala. We see here that in our previous class, some of the praises of al-Imam Muslim for his great teacher, al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. And the author he continues and he mentions وَقَالَ أَبُو عِيسَى وَقَالَ أَبُو عِيسَى التِّرْمِذِي And he also from the great students of Al-Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى أبو عيسى محمد بن عيسى التِّرْمِذِي رحمه الله تعالى صاحب جامع التِّرْمِذِي He said لَمْ أَرَى بِالْإِرَاقِ وَلَا بِخُرَسَانِ فِي مَعْنَى الْإِلَلِ وَالتَّارِيخِ وَمَعْرِفَةِ الْأَسَانِيدِ أَعْلَمَ مِنْ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ إِسْمَعِيلِ He said, Tirmidhi, he mentioned about al-Bukhari, rahimahumullah, that I have not seen, not in Iraq, and not in Khurasan, anyone that had more knowledge of the hidden defects of the narrations, and likewise the history of the narrators, and the knowledge of the chains, and more. I haven't seen anyone in these affairs more knowledgeable than Muhammad ibn Ismail, rahimahumullah ta'ala. Likewise, Tirmidhi, he says, Qala Muhammad ibn Ismail, عند عبد الله بن منير الترمذي he says كان محمد ابن اسماعيل عند عبد الله بن منير that Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى he was with عبد الله بن منير we took him in the previous class who remembers him عبد الله بن منير from the greatest of the مشايخ of البخاري and Bukhari mentioned about him لم أرى مثله لم أرى مثله عبد الله بن منير he is from those mashayikh that al-Bukhari he narrated on in Sahih al-Bukhari. And he said about himself, Abdullah ibn Munir, Ana min tilamidi Muhammad ibn Ismail. He's the one who mentioned, and he said, I'm from the students of al-Bukhari. And in reality, he was from the teachers of al-Bukhari. Rather, al-Bukhari he narrated on him yani in his authentic collection, Sahih al-Bukhari. So, At-Tirmidhi, he's mentioning here that Bukhari, he was in the gathering of Abdullah ibn Munir. Of Abdullah ibn Munir. So he says, فَلَمَّا قَامَ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ قَالَ لَهُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ زَيْنَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ And whenever he stood up to leave, his sheikh, he said to him, يعني Abdullah ibn Munir, he mentioned to al-Bukhari, O Abba Abdullah, may Allah make you the beauty and the adornment of this ummah. May Allah make you the adornment and the beauty of this ummah. And the adornment and the zayn of this ummah. At this time, At-Tirmidhi, he says, Ustajiba lahu fihi. Ustajiba lahu fihi. That this supplication of his shaykh for his student was accepted for him. Meaning that Bukhari, he was and the adornment of the ummah and the beauty of the ummah. And from the knowledge and the benefit that he left behind, rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Dhahabi, he mentioned the benefit with regards to that shaykh. Abdullah ibn Munir, that he died in the same year as Al-Imam Ahmed. When was that? 241, mashallah. After this, we continue to summarize, taking from a little bit here and there. Al-Dhahabi, he mentions now another chapter title. He says, ذِكْرُ عِبَادَتِهِ وَفَضْلِهِ وَوَرَعِهِ وَصَلَاحِهِ The mention of his worship. And the worship of al-Bukhari and his virtue and also his piety and his fear of Allah and the fact that he was upon rectification and goodness. So it's mentioned here that they said, كان محمد بن إسماعيل يختم في رمضان في النهار كل يوم ختمة ويقوم بعد التراويح كل ثلاث ليال بختمة That al-Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى in Ramadan, he used to every single day complete the Quran. He used to recite the Quran from the beginning to the end every single day in the daytime of Ramadan. And as for in the nighttime after Taraweeh, every three nights he would complete it, and in standing, in prayer. So he was someone who was busy with this affair. And no doubt the Quran should not be completed in less than 7 or 3 days in their lifetime. This is outside. This is outside of Ramadan. As for Ramadan, the people of knowledge, they mentioned to read it as much as one can. So therefore, this is not conflicting with that which has been prescribed in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-Bukhari, he says, أرجو أن ألقى الله أرجو أن ألقى الله ولا يحاسبني أني اكتبت أحدا. He said that I have hopes in Allah that I will meet him, and Allah will not hold me to account for backbiting anyone, that I have not backbitten anyone. And Al-Dhahabi, he says, قال صدق رحمه الله ومن نظر في كلامه فجرحه تعديل علم ورعه في الكلام في الناس وانصافه في من يضعفه فإنه أكثر ما يقول منكر الحديث وسكت عنه وفيه نظر ونحو هذا. So Al-Bukhari, he says, I hope that I will meet Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will not hold me to account for backbiting anyone. We know that from the first of the scholars of hadith to author a work with regards to the issues of jahra ta'dil and collecting the names of the narrators and mentioning about them, whether they're weak or whether they're strong or whether they're corrupt or whether they're pious and the likes like this, and he's saying about them, this one is thiqah and this one is da'if and this one was known for lying and this one he was this and this one he was that. Yani the first to do that or from the first to do that and to write in this manner was Al-Bukhari himself rahimahullah ta'ala. But he does not find that he's backbiting any of them. Rather, this is an obligation that was upon the people of knowledge. So he said this about himself. Al-Dhahabi, he comments, rahimahullah, and he says, verily, he told the truth. May Allah have mercy on him. And the one who looks into the speech, into the statements of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil, yani criticizing and praising the narrators and the likes, they will find that he had the most pious of speech, and then he was very far from being corrupt or falling into oppression, and he was just in that affair. Those who he considered to be weak, whatever the reason may be, and the most that he would say, munkar al hadith, and that his hadith is munkar, it's not accepted, it's rejected, or sakatu anhu, or they were silent about him. Or fihi nadhar, any this person here, he's not reliable, and the likes like this. And Al-Dhahabi says, وَقَلَّ أَن يَقُولُ فُلَانٌ كَذَّابٌ أَوْ كَانَ يَضَعُ الْحَدِيثِ. And only rarely would he say, so-and-so was a liar, or so-and-so used to fabricate narrations. And he mentioning the issue of Al-Bukhari, what he was known for is that he was very precise in selecting the terms and the words that he used. And many of the narrators, they will speak with words that are direct and that are harsh, and especially for the person who deserves it. They will say, so-and-so is a liar, so-and-so used to fabricate, so-and-so is weak, so-and-so's memory is nothing, so-and-so is like this, he's air, he's nothing, he has no value, so-and-so a lot like this. But this is because of the innovation that they were involved in, or the fact that they were not from the people of knowledge, and they stepped into that arena and they spoke in affairs that did not concern them, and they spoke without knowledge, and they narrated narrations that were weak and the likes like this, and they were criticized for that, because this is an arena of knowledge and a great affair. And speaking about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his narrations is speaking about the deen of Allah. And ascribing to something to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is ascribing something to the legislation of Allah, from the halal and the haram and the likes like this. So this is a very serious affair. But although those people of knowledge who spoke in this manner, they're excused on that, and they have the right to do that, and this is defense of the deen, and this is not considered backbiting. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he was known for choosing the lightest words. He was known for choosing the lightest words and the safest words that would keep him safe from being held accountable or any blame with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what he's referring to. And he said, so Bukhari, he used to say, فُلَانٌ فِيهِ نَذَرٌ, so-and-so, yani he has another, you have to take a look into his affair, meaning he's not reliable. Or he would say, سَكَتُ عَنْهُ, oh, they didn't mention anything about him, like this. And Dhahabi, he's mentioning that this is the case. Bukhari, he said, إِذَا قُلْتُ فُلَانٌ فِي حَدِيثِهِ نَذَرٌ فَهُوَ مُتَّهَمٌ وَاحِنٌ. And the meaning that if I say that so-and-so in his narrations, you have to take a look at the meaning that they're not reliable, meaning that this individual, he's accused for lying, and he is severely weak. He's severely weak. So Bukhari, he would be very diligent, and he would have piety whenever he chose the words that he chose to speak about the narrators. This is the point he's making here. So Al-Dhahabi says, this is what he's intending here. لَا يُحَاسِبُنِي اللَّهُ أَنِّي أَكْتَبْتُ أَحَدًا. And this is from, he says, وَهَذَا هُوَ وَاللَّهِ غَايَةُ الْوَرَعِ. And this is from the peak of piety and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the peak of piety and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And people, they even still, they would complain and claim that Bukhari, in his book Tariq al-Kabir, he was backbiting the people, and some of the people claimed that. And Bukhari, he defended himself and he said, I didn't say none of that. Rather, I just transmitted what was mentioned about them. And I transmitted what was mentioned about them. And then he says, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, بِئْسَ مَوْلِ الْأَشِيرَةِ يعني حديث عائشة. And he's referring to the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, whenever that man, he came into the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and whenever he seen him coming, he said, oh, he's the worst of the people. He's the worst of his tribe's men. And then whenever he came in, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was kind to him and took care of his need, and in order to stay away from his evil. And he clarified the understanding of the people of Hadith that to speak about these affairs is not considered backbiting. Is not considered backbiting. And Bukhari, he says, مَغْتَبْتُ أَحَدًا قَطْ مُنْذُ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ الْغِيبَةَ تَضُرُ أَهْلَهَا. Al-Bukhari, he said, I never backbit anybody ever since I realized and knew for sure that backbiting will harm the people who commit it. That backbiting will harm the people who commit it. We see from the greatest or the highest in chain of narration for the Mashaykh al-Bukhari, Abu Asim al-Nabil al-Dhahak ibn Makhlad, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And also the same statement is found in his tarjama. He said, مَا غْتَبْتُ أَحَدًا مُنْذُ أَقَلْتُ أَنَ الْغِيبَ حَرَامٌ. He said, I never backbit anybody ever since I realized and knew that backbiting was haram. So this is what is apparent that he learned from his mashaykh, that backbiting is haram. Speaking ill, finding fault with the believers behind their backs and the likes like this is haram. As for defending the sunnah, speaking about the narrators, or warning from the people of innovation and the likes like this is a whole nother realm and a whole nother field. And this is an area that is incumbent. And for their religion to be clarified and to be defended, and the people of falsehood to be known, and the likes like this. So this is the issue here that he's referring to. And this is not backbiting. This is not backbiting. It's mentioned here, كان أبو عبد الله رحمه الله تعالى يصلي في وقت السحر 13 ركعة. That Al-Bukhari, and from his methodology in his daily affair, is that every day in the time of the Sahar, and in the last period of the night before Fajr, he used to pray 13 rak'ah. He used to pray 13 rak'ah. And so this is also from his issue, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he was not only a person of knowledge who was seeking knowledge, but also he was a person of ibadah and worship, and he was applying the knowledge. And he was applying the knowledge, rahimahullahu ta'ala. One of the people who narrated many of these narrations on Bukhari, his name is Muhammad ibn Abi Hatim. And he's known as Warraq al-Bukhari. He is the one who used to be the scribe and would copy the writings of Bukhari and copy the narrations that he wrote. And so he's narrating many of these narrations. He mentions here, Duya Muhammad ibn Ismail ila bustani ba'di ashabihi falamma salla bil qawmi al-zuhur qama yatatawwa' فلما فرغ من صلاته رفع ذيل قميصه فقال لبعض من معه انظر هل ترى تحت قميصي شيئا فإذا زنبور قد أبرأه في 16 أو 17 موضعا قال تورم من ذلك جسده. He mentions here that at one time Al-Bukhari, he was invited to a gathering with some of his companions, and they prayed dhuhr there. They prayed dhuhr there. And after that, Bukhari, he got up and he started praying the non-obligatory salah. And he was praying sometime by himself. And then whenever he was finished, he came to them and he pulled up the tail of his, he looked under his shirt. He said, look back here, do you see anything? Do you see anything in my back? And they looked and they seen a wasp. They seen a wasp had bit him 16 or 17 times, and his body was swollen because of that.
So فَقَالَ لَهُ بَعْضُ الْقَوْمِ, some of the people, they said to him, كَيْفَ لَمْ تَخْرُجْ مِنَ السَّرَاتِ أَوَّلَ مَا أَبْرَعَكَ, how come you didn't leave from the prayer the first time you got stung? Yani he's in the prayer, he's been stung 16, 17 times. They're like, why didn't you stop praying the first time you got stung? And Bukhari, he says, كُنْتُ فِي سُورَةٍ فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُتِمَّهَا فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُتِمَّهَا, he said, I was reciting a chapter and I like to finish it, and I wanted to finish it. Yani he was able to bear this pain, yani, and not paying any attention to it because of his devotion to worship. So here the next narration on him clarifies his affair, yani that one of the narrators, they mentioned that the ulama, and that he heard the ulama in Basra saying, ما في الدنيا مثل محمد بن إسماعيل في المعرفة والصلاح, that there is no one in the dunya, and in those days there's no one in the dunya, and this, and there's no one in the world that is at the level of al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala with regards to understanding and rectification, with regards to understanding, with regards to al-ma'rifa, yani al-ilm, knowledge and understanding, and also as-salah, yani rectification and application. So this is a great point that the people of knowledge, they mentioned about him, that he was yani a person of knowledge and application, a person of knowledge and application. And in this manner, the knowledge, it is beneficial. The knowledge, it is beneficial. There are a number of narrations we continue to read. Again, this one has preceded. It's mentioned that Bukhari, he mentioned about himself, rahimahullahu ta'ala, kana yusalli rakatayn inda kulli tarjama, that he mentioned about himself that he used to pray two rakah in every tarjama, yani in every chapter title in Sahih al-Bukhari, for every chapter that he made, he would pray two rakah istikhara from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for guidance and assistance and acceptance from Allah azza wa jal. So he was devoted with sincerity and truthfulness, and he was devoted to knowledge and also to worship. It's mentioned here again another chain too, Al-Firabri. He says, رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في النوم فقال لي أين تريد فقلت أريد محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري فقال اقرأه مني السلام. Al-Farabri, he mentioned that he at one time he seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream, and the Prophet asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Muhammad ibn Ismail. He said, I'm going to Bukhari. And he said that at this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him to give him salam from me. We know that, again, the dreams, they're not something that one would establish a ruling from. But if someone, he sees a good dream, then this is a good sign for him and glad tidings. Or if a good dream is seen from somebody, for a person, this is glad tidings, inshallah, for that person, and a good sign, especially if it's affirmed that the one who was seen in the dream is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But not everybody who claims they saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream really saw him. Only if they saw him according to how the companions knew him. Saw him in his true appearance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an indication of the importance of learning about al-shama'il al-nabawiyyah, the prophetic appearance and the way that he looked and his build and the way that he of his structure and his color and his height and the likes like the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to know if one saw him or not in a dream. Because some people, they claim they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream, and then when you ask them to describe them, they'll say, oh, he didn't have a beard, or he was very short, or he was very tall, or they saw the Prophet in the dream, he had one hand. All of this is lies, and this is not the Prophet, rather this is shaytan, wariyadu billah. The one who sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream is the one who's seen him as described by the companions, and that in his true form, and the way that he was created, the way that he was alive, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his shape and his appearance whenever he was alive, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, here's another indication of the piety and the fear of Allah. that was in the heart of Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. He said that he said one time the Abi Ma'ashir al-Darir. He said to a man, his name is Abu Ma'ashir, and he was blind. He was a blind man. One time he came to him and he said, "Ij'alni fi hil, ya Abu Ma'ashir." He said, "Oh, Abu Ma'ashir, forgive me, pardon me. Pardon me, put me in hil, anywhere I will not be held accountable with regards to you." So he said to him, "Min ayy shay?" Yani, pardon you from what? Now he said, "Qala rawaytu yawman hadithan فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَقَدْ عُجِبْتَ بِهِ وَأَنْتَ تُحَرِّكُ رَأْسَكَ وَيَدَكَ فَتَبَسَّمْتُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ أَنْتَ فِي حِلْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ." Al-Bukhari, he asked him, why should I pardon you? And Bukhari, he says, "One day I narrated a narration and I looked at you and you thought that it was very amazing and you started rolling your head and moving your head around and moving your hand. So I smiled at that whenever I saw you. And so he says, "Verily, you're pardoned and you're free of blame. Oh, Abu Abdullah, may Allah have mercy on you. And meaning that he remembers this affair, that even one time maybe this is something that meant he did not know about. But he was afraid that he would be held accountable for that. And that this is something that was in the right of that man. And that he had done something that is not befitting with regards to him. And therefore he informed him and asked for pardon and for forgiveness for this. And so this is something, meaning that it would bother his heart. And so to harm a believer is something that should bother the heart of a Muslim, to bother the heart of a Muslim. With regards to the affairs of harming the believers, Al-Bukhari, he says, rahimahullah, ma akaltu khurratha qat, wala al-qanabara. Qultu wadima thadika. And it's mentioned that he told one of his companions, "I never ate the khurratha ever, the leeks." And another type of herb likewise called al-qanabara. And he called to wadima thadika. They said, "Why not? You never ate these type of herbs, these herbs that have a bad and foul odor whenever you eat them." He said, "Karihtu an udhiya man ma'i min natniha." He said, "Because I did not like to harm those who were along with me from the foul odor. And I didn't want that foul odor to come from me and harm those people who were along with me. So I never ate that." Qultu wa kadhalika al-basal. He said, "Like that, the raw onions also, you never ate those?" He said, like that, no, I never ate those." And this is something that's halal and permissible for a person to eat. This is his decision that he made. If he's accompanying people, for example, a lot, and we know that Bukhari, he's traveling a lot, and he did not like to harm the people. So even from that, is that he would not eat this food that would leave a foul odor on him until he harmed the people from his odor. From his odor, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Here he says about al-Farabri again. He says, "Kuntu jalisan ma'a Abi Abdullah fi bi Farabr fi masjid, fadafa'tu min lihatihi qadhatan mithl al-dharra athkuruha." One of them mentioned, he said, "I was sitting with al-Bukhari rahimahullah in the masjid in Farabr. And he had a small speck of something in his beard, so I wiped it away. فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أُلْقِيَهَا فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. I wanted to just throw it down in the masjid. And so Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, أَلْقِيهَا خَارِجًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. He said, throw it outside of the masjid. Don't just take it and throw it down in the masjid. And this is something that will harm the people. If there's trash and there's things laying in the masjid, even today we see some people, they'll cut their nails and throw it in the masjid right there, and then you will not realize that it's there until it's in front of you whenever you're making sujood. This is harmful for the people. Wallahi, this is harmful for the people. Somebody makes sujood and he lifts his head up and he has a fingernail stuck on his head. This is something that harms the people. And how about any aspect? So Bukhari, he's like thinking about these affairs, not harming the people. Don't throw that on the ground, throw it outside, because maybe it will harm somebody. And it's stuck on my beard, maybe it's going to stick on somebody else's beard also. And he get rid of it and throw it outside. This is something a believer, he takes into consideration. Plus, this is the house of Allah. It'll just throw things on the floor and leave things on the floor and leave bottles and trash and paper and pencils and fingernails and the likes like this. This is not befitting. They mention here many narrations. Want to try to finish this tarjama, but it keeps going and going. it keeps going and going, and we begin reading, so we have to read what we can. May Allah make it easy. May Allah make it easy. He says here, rahimahullahu ta'ala, at one time he says, kharajtu ila Adam ibn Abi Iyas, fatakhallafat anni nafaqati hatta ja'altu atanawul al-hashish ولا أخبر بذلك أحدا فلما كان اليوم الثالث أتاني آت لم أعرفه فناورني سرة دنانير وقال أنفق على نفسك. البخاري, he mentioned and he's showing his diligence to seek knowledge. He left out to meet one of the mashaykh to go in search of knowledge from Adam ibn Abi Iyas. He said, on my way there, and whenever I went there, I ran out of money until the extent I started eating grass, and I didn't tell anybody about that. I didn't inform anybody of my situation until after 3 nights of doing this. Somebody suddenly came to me out of nowhere. I don't know who he was, and he gave me a bag of money and he told me, spend it on yourself. Subhanallah. And that he was any shy and he was chaste, and even whenever he was in need, he would not refrain from this affair. And then how Allah Azza wa Jal provide from where one cannot perceive. It's mentioned here about him that they said, كان محمد بن إسماعيل رحمه الله مخصوصا بثلاث خصال مع ما كان فيه من الخصال الحميدة. That al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he was given three special qualities along with the rest of the praiseworthy qualities that he had. And he had many praiseworthy qualities, but three of them that were the most special and specific, and he was known for them. He says, kana qalil al-kalam. Kana qalil al-kalam. He was not always talking, and he spoke only a little. And from the affairs of the world, and he's not always talking. وَكَانَ لَا يَطْمَعُ فِي مَا عِدَ النَّاسِ. And he did not used to desire what the people had. He did not want the people, what the people had, and the dunya that was in the hands of the people. He was not looking for that or desiring that. وَكَانَ لَا يَشْتَغِيرُ بِأُمُورِ النَّاسِ. وَكَانَ لَا يَشْتَغِيرُ بِأُمُورِ النَّاسِ. And he was not also busy with the affairs of the people. So-and-so is doing this, and so-and-so is doing that. He wasn't busy with his affairs. He wasn't busy with what the people are doing. He wasn't hoping to have the money the people have or the wealth and prosperity that's in the hands of the people. And he didn't busy himself talking about this affair a lot. What did they say about him? كل شغله كان في العلم. That all of his devotion and all of his effort, all of his time, it was in knowledge. All of his time, it was in knowledge. And that this is all that he did. This is all that he did. We've seen that before, and the examples of that he would be with the people, and he would not be occupied with them whatsoever. Rather, they would be having fun, enjoying themselves on an excursion, and he would be seeking knowledge, and he would be reading books, and he would be diligent in this manner. This is how he was his whole life, rahimahullah ta'ala, until he was known for that. Al-Dhahabi, he mentions now. He says, "Dhikru karamihi." وسماحته وصفته وغير ذلك. This is the mention of his generosity and his kindness and his descriptions, and other than that, he mentioned some narrations, and he says about Muhammad ibn Abi Hatim al-Raq that he said, I heard Bukhari saying, رحمه الله كنت أستغل كل شهر 500 dirham. فَانْفَقْتُ كُلَّ ذَلِكَ فِي طَالِبِ الْإِلْمِ. He said, every month I used to get 500 dirham. Every month I used to get 500 dirham. As a provision. And I spent all of that in seeking knowledge. فَانْفَقْتُ ذَلِكَ فَانْفَقْتُ كُلَّ ذَلِكَ فِي طَالِبِ الْإِلْمِ. And I spent all of that in seeking knowledge. A person who has this fervent desire, he will literally do that. He will spend everything he has in seeking knowledge, his very last breath. We have seen examples of that in the Salaf. And so he was known for this manner. Like how it's mentioned about him that there was an individual who owed him thousands of dinanir, lots of wealth. And he was dodging him. And Bukhari, he kept delaying him and pardoning him and forgiving him. And whenever the people would hear about it, that he owed Bukhari, they would try to take retribution for him, and they would try to write to the ruler for him. And if he was in that town, Bukhari came to that town, the man that owed him, he would flee and he would run. So the people, any Bukhari's companions, they didn't like that. So they said, let's write to the, he went to so-and-so town, let's write over there to them and have him hold him. And then Bukhari says, nobody touch him. Nobody touch him, let him go and leave him. And he was very kind and pardoning, and he pardoned him in this manner, and the likes like this. And rahimahullah ta'ala, he was not any after the people and the wealth of the people. Rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentions here, this is now coming to the end of the life of al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. At the end of his life, he went to Naysabur. He went to Naysabur, and then whenever he made his trip there, he had a great, great gathering. And it's mentioned that whenever he came there, rahimahullah ta'ala, all of the scholars of Naysabur and all of the virtuous people and all of the people of knowledge, they came out and they left the town and they greeted him. Yani far from the city, they traveled outside of the town to whenever they heard that he's coming to meet him there. And he had a mass of people meeting him and happy to see him and the likes. And at this time in Naysabur, one of the people of knowledge was there. His name is Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Zuhri, and he is from the peers of Bukhari, and also even yani from the Mashaykh of Bukhari. They're very close, but he's also yani from the most knowledgeable of the scholars of hadith of those days. We read previously that he was asking him questions. Al-Zuhri was asking Bukhari questions, and he was going through them like he's reciting Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. And this was the same individual. They mentioned about Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Zuhri that in Naysabur, he was like Ahmed in Baghdad, or he was like Malik in Medina, like that's with regards to the Sunnah. And he was known for being staunch and stern upon the Sunnah, and with knowledge and with narration and defending the Sunnah. And he was harsh on the innovators. Likewise, Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Zuhri, he's from the scholars of Hadith. He's from the scholars of Hadith. Whenever he was there, he told the people, all of his students, whenever Bukhari comes, we're going to go meet him. We all go meet him. We all go meet him. So they all went out to meet him. And then after that, any sometime, the people, whenever Bukhari was in Naysabur, he started having gatherings of knowledge. And at this time, all of the people advanced and hastened to Bukhari. And the gathering of Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Zuhri started becoming lighter and lighter. And the people left his gathering and they went to the gathering of Bukhari until it was noticed. Until you can see that the students in his gathering became less and became fewer. And the people of knowledge, as I mentioned here at this time, al-Zuhri rahimahullah, he was tried with jealousy. And there were affairs that occurred between the two of them. And the foundation of that was because of jealousy. And they had some people come to cause problems in the gathering of Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, and they asked him about some issues about the love and the recitation of the Quran as it created. And Bukhari, he turned away from him and he didn't answer. And then they're trying to get him to talk about this affair. And Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the Quran is a speech of Allah and it's not created. And whoever says that the Quran is created, then he's a disbeliever. And this was the affair, and this was his belief. But then they asked him about any of the recitation. And Bukhari, he told them, and he said that the Quran is the speech of Allah, and it's not created. But the actions of the people is created. And the recitation that one recites with his tongue, then this is created. And the people, they misunderstood that. And they claim that he said that the Quran, the recitation of the Quran is created, and the likes like this, and they lied on him. And coupled with that, the jealousy that was between him and his peer, they caused much corruption and hardship, yani for al-Bukhari. So al-Dhahabi, he's mentioning this affair. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Ahmad ibn Adi. Ibn Adi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, ذَكَرَ لِي جَمَعَةٌ مِنَ الْمَشَيْخِ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ إِسْمَعِيلِ لَمَّا وَرَدَ نَيْسَابُورَ اجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ وَحَسَدَهُ بَعْضُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ مِنْ مَشَيْخِ نَيْسَابُورَ لَمَّا رَأَوْا إِقْبَالَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ واجتماعهم عليه فقال لي أصحاب الحديث إن محمد بن إسماعيل يقول لفظ بالقرآن مخلوق فامتحنوه في المجلس يعني فلما حضر الناس مجلس البخاري قام إليه رجل فقال يا أبا عبد الله ما تقول في اللفظ بالقرآن مخلوق هو أم غير مخلوق فأعرض عنه البخاري ولم يجيبه فقال الرجل يا أبا عبد الله فعاد عليه القوم فأعرض عنه ثم قال في الثالثة فالتفت إلى البخاري وقال رحمه الله القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق وأفعال العباد مخلوقة والامتحان بدعة فشغب الرجل وشغب الناس وتفرقوا عنه وقعد البخاري في منزله
يعني so يعني they tried to test him and try him with a saphir and to get him to slip into falling into the issue of claiming that the Quran is created, but he did not say that, or that the recitation of the Quran is created. And this is also not what al-Bukhari, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, but they accused him with that. So Bukhari, he made the difference. And he, the Quran itself, and that which is recited, this is the words of Allah. This is the words of Allah that he spoke, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not created. But as for the voice of the reciter, and the action of reciting and the lips and the likes like this, this is from the actions of the slave. And the slave, he is created. And the recitation that he recites and he, with his tongue and the voice that comes from his mouth, this is created. But as for that which is recited, it's not created. As for that which is recited, the words of Allah Azza wa Jal that was heard by Jibreel alayhi salam, this is not created. And the words, they are ascribed to the one who said it first. So these words here, the Quran, they're the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. He spoke them with words, and Jibreel, he heard them. Alayhi salam, and conveyed them to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and conveyed them to us. So the one who says the recitation of the Quran is created, then this statement here, it has two aspects. From one aspect it could be falsehood, from the other aspect it could be correct. So they tried to consider Bukhari mentioning that he meant the incorrect meaning, and to say the love means either the Quran itself, the recitation, or the sawt of the reciter. So the people of knowledge, they clarify and they mention that Bukhari, he was right. And they say that with regards to the Quran is the speech of Allah and it's not created. So the Quran, kalam Allah. The Quran, kalam al-Bari, was sawtu al-Qari. That the Quran is the speech of the Creator. As for the voice, this is the voice of the reciter. Understand that? So they tried to find fault with him in this affair, and they misunderstood him, coupled with desires, and they caused much harm for al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, until al-Dhuhri, he mentioned that whoever sits with Bukhari, don't sit with me. Whoever sits with Bukhari, it's not allowed for him to sit with me. And then he had mentioned and began warning from Bukhari in a great manner. Until al-Dhuhri, he mentioned that I'm not able to live in this city with that man. They're gonna have to get rid of him. So Bukhari, he left and he fled, and it was much fitna and trials that occurred for him. And al-Dhuhri, he had riled up the people against him, and he was claiming that Bukhari had opposed the Sunnah, and that Bukhari claimed that the recitation of the Quran is created, and he did not claim that. Rahimahullah ta'ala, they mentioned this fabrication against him, and many of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the source of this was jealousy between peers, even though they also confessed to the great virtue of Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhri. But this is something that occurs sometimes between peers. Wallahu al-musta'an. So Bukhari, he left and he was afraid, and he left out from Nisabur, and basically he was ran from there, and he went to Bukhara, and to his home. And whenever he got to his homeland, he was there for some time, and then he had other trials there likewise. And it's mentioned that whenever he was in Bukhara, rahimahullah ta'ala,
that they asked him, the ruler there, the ruler of Bukhari, he was also a Zuhri. He had the same tribe as Muhammad ibn Yahya. And the likes like this, he asked him to come to his house and to teach his children. And Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he was very diligent with regards to the knowledge and with regards to respecting the knowledge. So whenever he asked, he's now in Bukhara. So the ruler said in Bukhara, come to my house and recite Sahih Bukhari to me. Come to my house and recite Tariq al-Kabir to me, yani in my house. So Bukhari, he says, yani he sent a messenger to tell him this. So Bukhari, he told the messenger, أَنَا لَا أُذِلُّ الْعِلْمِ أَنَا لَا أُذِلُّ الْعِلْمِ وَلَا أَحْمِلُهُ إِلَى أَبْوَابِ النَّاسِ. Bukhari, he said to the messenger of the ruler of that city, he said, I will never belittle the knowledge, and I will not carry it to the doorsteps of the people. And if you want to learn, then come to me in my masjid or come to me in my house. If you want to learn, come to me in the gatherings in the masjid or come to me in my house. And if you don't like that, then you're the ruler. You can prohibit me from narrating, and I will obey you because you're the ruler. But I'm not going to belittle the knowledge and carry it from here and there and carry it to the house. And another narration is mentioned, and he will come and teach it to my children in my home. He said, I'm not going to specify nobody for this knowledge. This knowledge is for everybody. Everybody's going to get it in the masjid and the likes like this. So whenever this occurred, the ruler, he did not like al-Bukhari now. He had a problem with Bukhari likewise. And then Muhammad ibn Yahya, he wrote to the ruler as well. And he mentioned that al-Bukhari, he had opposed the sunnah. And he had mentioned that the Quran is created and they lied on him and the likes like this. Or they mentioned that he said that love thee, but the Quran is created. And he didn't say that, rahimahullah ta'ala. But this is what was mentioned about him. So he was ran likewise. He was ran likewise from Bukhara. The ruler of Bukhara, he told the people what had come to him from the message of Muhammad ibn Yahya. And the people were like, we're not listening to that. We're never going to leave Bukhari. We're going to support him and the likes like this. And then so he kicked him out of his land. He kicked him out of his land. So now he was chased out of his own home. And he headed to Samarkand. He headed to Samarkand, rahimahullahu ta'ala, rahimahullahu ta'ala, until he died there. Whenever he was 62 years old, in the year 256, rahimahullah ta'ala. What has been mentioned about this affair, it's mentioned al-Bukhari, he says, yani tuwfiya al-Bukhari laylat al-sabti, laylat al-fitr, inda salat al-isha, wa dufina yawm al-fitri ba'da salat al-dhuhr, sanat al-sittin wa khamsin wa miya, wa ashi ithnataini wa sittina sana, illa thalatha ashra yawman. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that al-Bukhari, he died on the night of Saturday, late at the Sibt, and this was the night of Eid al-Fitr, and the night of Eid al-Fitr, after Salat al-Isha. And so, what day was that? The first night of Shawwal. So he was born in Shawwal, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in Shawwal. He was born in Shawwal and he died in Shawwal, rahimahullah ta'ala, the first night of Eid al-Fitr after Isha. Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died and he was buried the next day after Salat al-Dhuhr on Eid al-Fitr, and he was buried, rahimahullah, and he was 62 years old in the year 256. In the year 256, it's mentioned about him that whenever he was on his way to Samarkand, that he was very sick. He became very sick. He became very sick, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he was making dua a lot. And he was in much hardship and difficulty from what he was experiencing from the people and how they're throwing him out of the land, and he's traveling through the land in this manner. And the likes like this, and then he became very sick, and the people were helping him to get onto his animal in order to head to Samarkand. And then it's mentioned that he said to them, and he back up, leave me alone, da'uftu. I said, I feel very weak. He said, I feel very weak. And then he said about him, he started supplicating and making dua, and then he laid down and he died like that. And he died like that, rahimahullah ta'ala. They mentioned some amazing affairs about him, that he became sweating. He became sweating tremendously. Even after he was dead, he continued sweating until he was buried, until he was covered in his kafan, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But they buried him and they prayed on him on the day of Eid, Eid al-Fitr, rahimahullahu ta'ala. It's been narrated from Abd al-Wahid ibn Adam al-Tawawisi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says, this is also in Tariq al-Tariq Baghdad. It's mentioned here, رَأَيْتُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي النَّوْمِ وَمَعَهُ جَمَعَةٌ مِّنْ أَسْحَابِهِ وَهُ وَاقِفٌ فِي مَوْضِعِ. He said, I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم at one time in a dream, and he had a group of his companions with me, and they're standing in this place. فَسَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. He said, so I gave him salam, and he gave me the salam back. فَقُلْتُ مَا مَوْقِفُكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So he said, I said, why are you standing here, O Messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala antadhiru Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. He said, I'm waiting for Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. And in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in this man's dream, he's seen this. And this is what he said. He said, I'm waiting for Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. So the man, he mentioned, فَلَمَا كَانَ بَعْدَ أَيَّامٍ. So after this was after some days, بَلَغَنِي مَوْتُهُ فَنَظَرْتُ فَإِذَا قَدْ مَاتَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الَّتِي رَعَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِيهَا. He said, it reached me after some days that al-Bukhari, he had died. And I looked, and it was at the same time that I had the dream. It was the same time that I had the dream. Again, the dreams, it's a good sign. It's a good sign for a person, but still a person, will not say about anyone, so-and-so is in Jannah, or so-and-so is in the Nar, except for that which has been established and affirmed in the authentic texts. But somebody would say about Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and the rest of the scholars of the Sunnah, that is hope that he's in Jannah, that is hope that he is forgiven, that is hope that he is pardoned. And we would say likewise that we hope that we will be with them, that we hope that we will be with them. وَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ وَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ. And verily, amen. A person, he will be with the one he loves. He will be with the one that he loves. Anas, whenever he heard this, radiallahu anhu, he said, we never rejoice over anything the way that we rejoice over this. Verily, I love the Messenger of Allah and Abu Bakr and Umar, even though I cannot reach their status and actions. And we say the same thing as Anas, radiallahu anhu. Verily, we love the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar and all of the companions and the scholars of Hadith, and we hope that we will be with them, even if our actions do not reach their level, even if our actions do not reach the level of their actions. From the poetry of Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, اغتنم في الفراغ فضر ركوع فعسى أن يكون موتك بغتة كم صحيح رأيت من غير سك من ذهبت نفسه صحيحة فبتة. يعني اغتنم في الفراغ فضل الركوع. Take advantage of your free time by worshipping Allah with non-obligatory actions of worship. Yani, this is the meaning of that. فَعَسَى أَن يَكُونَ مَوْتُكَ بَغْتَةً. Because maybe your death can come suddenly. Maybe, take advantage of your time in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, because possibly death will come to you suddenly. He says, كَمْ صَحِيحًا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُكْمٍ ذَهَبَتْ نَفْسُهُ صَحِيحَةُ فَلْتَةً. He said, how many healthy people I have seen with no sickness whatsoever, their healthy souls were taken suddenly. Their healthy souls were taken suddenly. And not everybody gets sick and dies. Some people, they die suddenly while they're healthy. Well, some people will be the healthiest of the people, and their souls will be taken from them, with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So therefore, this is beautiful advice, that a believer will take advantage of his time in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, al-Bukhari, he mentioned in some lines of poetry, Ibn Hajar, he collected these in his book called in the Introduction of Fath al-Bari. خالق الناس بخلق واسع ولا تكن كلباً على الناس تحر. He said, deal with the people, treat the people with good and vast and noble manners, and do not be a dog barking and growling at the people. And do not be a dog barking and growling at the people. We will read one last narration that it was mentioned from Bukhari while he was teaching one of his students. And this was also from Muhammad ibn Abbas al-Farabari. He says, وَأَمْلَى عَلَيَّ يَوْمًا وَأَمْلَى يَوْمًا عَلَيَّ حَدِيثًا كَثِيرًا. One day al-Bukhari, he narrated to me a number of narrations, many narrations. فَخَافَ مَلَالِي. So he is afraid I'll become tired and get bored. فَقَالَ طِبْ نَفْسًا فَإِنَّ أَهْلَ الْمَلَاهِ فِي مَلَاهِهِمْ. He said, you should enjoy yourself. Realize what you're doing. He said, verily, the people of entertainment, they're in their entertainment. وَهْلُ الصَّنَاعَاتِ فِي صَنَاعَاتِهِمْ. And the people of manufacturing, they're in their manufacturings. وَالتِّجَارِ فِي تِجَارَاتِهِمْ. And the people of business and trade, they're in their business and their trade. وَأَنْتَ مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَصْحَابِهِ. And you're with the Prophet and his companions, رضي الله عنهم. رحمه الله أبا عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.